Take your Bibles tonight. Go to Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3. I absolutely love this church and love the spirit that is here. There are some churches that we go into and they don't receive the gospel like you have received it. And they don't enjoy the presence of God like you enjoy it. But every now and then He'll let us stop in a place like this. And it just stirs our heart and stirs the fire and keeps us going for what God has called us to do. I'm thankful for it. Acts chapter number 3. Thank you for standing in reverence of God's Word. The Bible says in verse number 1, are you there? Say amen. Amen. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Let me stop long enough and say, I believe every time the church doors are open, you ought to be in your place. I don't say that because that's what a preacher ought to say. I say it because you never know what God might do. And you don't want to miss it. Amen. The Bible says, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called, everybody holler that next word at me, beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered in the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Had his head hung down low. Wouldn't look nobody in the eye. That's a bad place when you go to the house of God and you can't look nobody in the eye. They said, look up. Yeah, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. The Bible goes on to say, and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'm not going to leave you empty. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. I want you to say those three actions with me tonight. Walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement. I reckon so. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. You can have a seat. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I ask that you would please, Lord Jesus, get me out of the way. Lord, forgive us of sin. Empty us of self. Fill us with your Spirit tonight and use us to serve your kingdom. God, I can't do this by myself. I do not want to be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal to these people tonight. They didn't spend their gas money. They didn't waste their energy to come over here and hear somebody make a lot of noise. But God, I ask that you would get in the middle of this thing. Begin to use your word to minister and feed your people. This is your word, Lord, not ours. We're just delivering the message. And what an awesome and wonderful message it is that Jesus saves. He still does. Bless your holy name. Now, God, I'll be sure to give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. I will. I won't keep nothing back for myself. I promise you that, Lord. I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. And in Jesus' sake I pray. Amen and amen. Real quickly tonight, we got a familiar verse of Scripture here. It's a familiar story you probably have heard preached 100 times from this very pulpit. But I want to reiterate and maybe be a booster shot to something you may have already heard. I don't come with a new gospel because the old one is still working. Amen? But I want to preach to you from the thought of this lame man. The Bible said that... Is it all right to come down here? I hope that's okay. My nose is about to bleed up there. I'm so short. The Bible said that this man was laid at this gate every day. I don't know how many years he had been laid there, but it said daily he was laid at this gate. This man was lame from his mama's womb. What his daddy had could not help him. What his mama had could not fix him. Can I tell you, like David said it, in sin did my mother conceive me. I showed up on this scene broken and busted up in this life. But I sure am thankful that I met a man named Jesus and he didn't leave me that way. The Bible said this man was broken from the very day he was deposited on this earth. And they took him and laid him at a beautiful gate. Now, that is a typology and a condition that I see a lot in our day. Many people who are broken but laid at a beautiful place. Isn't it an awful thing that you can come in the house of God and bear all that you bear? You're broken, you're busted up, your heart's split wide open. There's a diagnosis that's bothering you. There's children that's running the street tonight that won't get in church, and that breaks your heart, and you're in a beautiful place, but such an ugly condition. Can I tell you that's why Jesus came to fix your condition? The Bible said that I don't know how many people had walked over him. I don't know how many people had just threw a nickel and dime at him, wiped their feet at the door of the house of God, and stepped over him. Can I tell you something? Can I be real straightforward with you? If our religion allows us to walk over people that are broken and hurting, if you can just step over somebody who needs Jesus, if you can pump gas and look at a man buying alcohol and think nothing about where his soul is, if we can walk over people who are broken and not care to tell them about the man named Jesus, honey, there's something messed up with your religion. Amen goes right there. But there were two men this day. These men weren't like everybody else. In fact, in the next chapter, we read that those Pharisees and scribes and all those men who hung Jesus on the cross, they looked at those same two preachers and said, there's something peculiar about them men, and they took notice that they had been with Jesus. I don't care to be the best preacher. I don't care to preach in the biggest churches. I don't have to have my name on the biggest. You know what I want them to accuse me of in this life? I want them to stare at me and say, you might want to stay away from that preacher. He looks like he's been hanging out with Jesus. Yeah, I feel good up in here tonight. Amen. Bible said that these two men, Peter and John, came to the house of God and they stopped in their tracks. They could not go any further. They had to stop where they were. They weren't about to go worship the Lord and look at a man lame on the doorstep. They stopped in their tracks. And Simon Peter looked down at that man and he said, hey, look on us. And the Bible said that this man looked up expecting to receive something of them. Can I tell you something real quick? If you came to church tonight and you don't expect God to do anything, you're just here to appease somebody. You're just here out of routine and you don't ever expect God. You don't visit the altar because you don't ever put your burdens in God's hands, and you don't ever expect anything big and miraculous and supernatural out of God, honey. You're going to get exactly what you came for. But I want to preach tonight to somebody who came in here and your eyes are about as big as golf balls and you're trying to figure out, hey, I wonder what God's got for me tonight. I want to go to church with somebody who looks to God expecting to receive something of Him. It feels good up in here tonight. The Bible said He looked unto them expecting to get something. I gotta have something from Him. I always walk in the house of God with my eyes wide open, saying, Lord, what you going to do today? I've watched him save too many drunks not to come to church like that. I've watched him save young people who was living a life of immorality. God absolutely just turned their life around. Call one of them to preach, call another one on the mission field. I watched him do it too many times not to expect something big out of God. Bible said, they said, look on us. And he looked at them expecting to see something. Then Simon Peter said this. Silver and gold have I none. I'm sorry, but I don't have what you've been looking for. I don't have what you've been begging for. But to be honest with you, how's it helping you this far? If silver and gold hadn't helped you this far, you may need to look a little bit higher. Silver and gold have I none. I don't have what you've been coming here for. But I've got all you'll ever need. Can I preach to you on that thought tonight? Can I just tie it? I know it's simple. It's not mind-blowing. It's not real deep theology. But it'll get deeper than I've ever experienced in my life. That I may not have what you came over here for. I may not be able to pay your bills. I may not be able to fix your marriage. I may not be able to put your life back together again. I may not be able to go out there and win your boy to Jesus. Silver and gold have I none. It's not going to be of me. Oh, but honey, I've got all you'll ever need. And His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. I've seen Him heal blinded eyes. I've seen Him heal broken legs. I even saw Him walk by a man who was dead and called him out of his grave. If you ever needed anything tonight, all you need is Jesus. I don't have what you came for, but I've got all you'll ever need. His name is Jesus. What did Simon Peter give that lame man? Number one, he gave him a person that was proven. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That old boy had heard that name before. He had heard that there were blinded eyes healed by the hand of Jesus. He had heard that dead men was raised up to live again by the name of Jesus. He had heard all these things. And then he had heard that he had left the scene and was gone. And probably that lame man had been sitting at that gate thinking he healed so many others. But I never got my chance. And I've missed my opportunity. But I want to talk to somebody tonight who may be sitting there and God's been dealing with your heart. God's been dealing with your life. Can I tell you something? You may feel like you've missed your opportunity to get fixed and to get healed. But can I tell you something? In the name of Jesus, He's passing by again. I'm glad that Jesus is still passing by. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. I'm talking about a man who can walk by a dead man and call him. I'm talking about a man who can feed a family when you're starving to death. In fact, he fed over 5,000 with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. If he can multiply the bread and the fish, he can multiply your finances and feed your family. He's proven it time and time and time again that I have not seen one problem in people that Jesus can't fix. You say, can He help my house? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You can build all the walls you want to. You can fill your house full of furniture. You can paint the walls whatever color and decorate it all you want. But honey, if your life and your marriage is not grounded and founded in the name of Jesus, the walls will crumble, the furniture will burn up, and all that stuff you're trying to hold on to will slip through your hands. But if you could ever start and ground tonight your family in the name of Jesus, and it's all about Him. It's not about self. It's not about her. It's not about Him. It's all about Jesus. Amen. He can fix your home. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight, but I'm not foolish enough to think that there ain't problems going on around all of us. See, I'm made out of the same stuff you are, and I know how this flesh fails me. I know how I can't put confidence in nothing. I like what old Paul said. Brother Paul. I like how y'all call him Brother Paul. Brother Paul said, I don't put confidence in this flesh. He said, I can't put any confidence in me. I can't. I've seen me. See, Paul's the same one who said, the things that I want to do, I wind up not doing it. I said I was going to do it, and I wound up not doing it. Those things I say I'll never do, I told God I wouldn't do that no more. And here I go again, preacher, doing the same thing. Oh, wretched man. Y'all ever felt like that? Oh, wretched, disgusting, filthy man I am. See, I'm made out of the same stuff Paul was. I know that I'm made out of flawed material. Take one bold step for God, about five steps back. Paul said, I can't put confidence in flesh. I can't put confidence in this stuff. I can't put confidence in you as much as I love you, because men will fail you. Youngins, daddies sometimes will walk out. I hope y'all got a wonderful home. I hope mom and daddy's in church tonight. But just in case there's somebody in here in a broken home, I got a girl back there, a little niece back there who's living in one. Can I tell you something? God can still use a life. He can still make a miracle out of a mess. That's the kind of God. He's proven it time. Time again. Paul said, I can't put confidence in this flesh. But being confident of this very thing, I can't put confidence in me or you, but being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in me shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do you know what that means? That means that what He started in me, one day He's going to complete it in me, and everything in between, that's all Him to. That's all Him to. Yes, sir. I'm glad that what God starts in me, He finishes it in me. He has proven it time and time and time again. He is what I need. Aren't you thankful? He's proven that no matter what problem you got tonight, all you got to do is just fall at His feet and say, it's all up to you. If you don't do it, it won't get done. But I just believe that you can, and watch Him go to work. He's a person that's proven. What else did Simon Peter give him? Gave him a prescription that was powerful. He gave him a prescription that was powerful. The Bible said that He said in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, and immediately. Didn't take 12 steps. Didn't take 12 months of counseling. Didn't take a year of rehab, trying to work them muscles back into where they got strength. A doctor operate on you, he's got to put you through a rehabilitation. But in the name of Jesus. See, here's the point of that. Here's the application of that. God can put strength in that very thing that's weakest in you. immediately. His feet and ankle bones received strength. I'm talking about there ain't nothing more powerful than the touch of God. There's nothing that can take your life from laying flat on your back, your spiritual condition, to standing up, walking and leaping and praising God. That's the touch of my Savior. That's how powerful He is. His touch is so potent that no matter how many years you've spent, the Bible says in the next chapter that 40 years, above 40 years, this man, he was over the age of 40. And for 40 years, the devil had victory over his life. The devil laughed at him, said he'd never be anything. And in one moment that he met Jesus and the name of Jesus entered, the moment that Jesus stepped on the scene in his life, God eradicated 40 years of a destruction and a depression and a distraught situation. I may run a lap this morning tonight. I sure am thankful that no matter what my condition is, the touch of God is powerful. My mama, we used to play hard when I was a kid. Can I tell you this illustration real quick and move on? My mama was from the hills. She was from the country. She didn't play none of that city stuff. She liked being in the backwoods somewhere. She was brought up that way, and she is that way today. She's 5 foot nothing, but if you ever make her mad, she grows real quick. I'm 35 years of age, and she would still get a hickory after me. Mama had these remedies at her house that just didn't make no sense whatsoever. Me and my brother, we'd play hard outside, and Buddy, Daddy, we didn't have PlayStation back then growing up. Daddy said, go outside. That is your station. Go play in it. I don't want to see you till sundown, till supper time. And you better come in muddy, dirty, or bleeding. We often did all three of them. I remember one day my brother hit, we was playing war. We didn't have those Nerf guns that make sounds. We had to use our imagination, believe that or not. We was playing war outside. He had hit me with a stick and I'd hit him, and we didn't lightly tap. We'd knock each other out and love every minute of it. That's how you knew you won, if your brother was laying dying on the ground. I hit him across the face, and he fell down. I thought I had won the victory. Then he come with his stick and cut my legs out from under me, and when he did, he put a big old gash on my leg. I still got a scar right there on my kneecap where he cut me wide open. I ran to the house. My socks are filling up with blood. I walk in. I say, Mama, they got me. The enemy got me. The British got me. You may have to take it off, Lord. Please help me. She said, sit down and shut up. She said, I got something. She went back to the back in the medicine cabinet and pulled this little bitty vial out. And it was vile. Little red stuff she pulled out of the cabinet. How many of you have you ever had the red stuff? I think they've outlawed it. She pulled that stuff out of the cabinet. Remember, it had that little dauber on the top of it, and you were supposed to apply maybe 2 or 3 drops. Mama put about 20 on it, just in case. She sat down there and doctored me up and began to apply the red stuff. I said, Mama, it burns, it burns, it burns. Blow it, blow it, blow it, blow it, blow it. She said, hush your mouth. She said, what that's doing is it's killing all the bacteria on the inside. And I said, you got to put a Band-Aid on it or something. She said, no, trust me, that stuff's powerful enough that it not only kills the bacteria on the outside, but it keeps it secure from the bacteria on the outside. See, kids nowadays, they use Neosporin, that nasty jelly stuff. Back then, Mama would use some. See, we didn't even know what it was called. It was so powerful, it burnt the label on the outside off. I'm serious. DSS should have come got that woman years ago. She put that stuff on me, it burned so bad. But I remember walking outside, I'd pull up my pants leg, and I showed everybody in town my battle scar. And I mean, that stuff had covered my whole leg. It was right, you remember, you couldn't get that stuff off just by washing it. It stayed on there a long time. You couldn't get a Brillo pad and scrub that stuff off. It would stay with you a long time. That stuff was powerful and it was potent. I remember Mama putting it on and I never had to worry about my cut again. Can I tell you something? Jesus Himself has something that's just as powerful. We call it the red stuff. I like to call it the blood of Jesus Christ. It burns up the bacteria on the inside. It keeps the nasty on the outside. And if you ask me, are you one of them blood-bought, blood-stained Christians? I'll roll up my soul and show you I'm covered from head to toe with the blood of Jesus. It's by His stripes that we are healed. There's nothing the blood. I remember my grandma used to claim the blood over her grandbabies. I remember my grandpa used to pray the blood over his children. I remember hearing those old saints of God saying, God, surround their house with the blood. See, there's a thing about the devil. He can mess with your finances. He can mess with your marriage. But he can never walk through the blood. It heals. It's powerful. It's potent. It can burn the nasty out of your life. I'm done with this. I know I preach too long, but I'm having a good time. Y'all got to know we don't go to places like this all the time. The last thing he gave him a purpose that was praiseworthy. It's simple. I told you it was simple from the beginning. But watch this. He's healed. He gets up and he begins to walk. But watch this. He did not go back to his house to tell him what had happened. I would think that if I was healed after 40 years, the first place I would go to be at my house, tell Mama and Daddy, look what Jesus did for me. And that's all in order. I believe you ought to do that. He did not tell all those people around the city that had stepped over him and used him as a gospel doormat his whole life. He did not run and tell them. Do you know the first place he went when he got healed? The Bible said he walked with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Where did he go? He went into the temple. I thought that was amazing. I thought that was great until I started digging into it. And then I realized how miraculous it really was. See, what we do not understand is if you go back far enough into Leviticus, you'll find that there was a law hanging over this man's life. In Leviticus, it says that if a man is, don't lose it right here. Come on now, stay with me. If a man is broken on his legs, he has no place in the house of God. He cannot walk into the house of God if he's lame on his feet. Get that. This man not only was broken in that he couldn't walk in, but he was pushed out by a law that hung over his head. His whole life, there's a law telling him that you're so broken, you're so messed up, that you don't belong where other people belong. And here he is living in this place. But when Jesus stepped on the scene, Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. The law has kept you out this long, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. There was a law hanging over my head one day that said that I had no business living in the presence of God. I was a sinner. I was lost. I was undone. I was broken. But then I met Jesus. And Jesus said, no longer are you walking in your brokenness, but walk in my name. And I begin to walk in the name of Jesus. And I begin to go places that I've never been able to go before. And I started seeing things that I've never seen before. And if you think the gate was beautiful, what do you think the house looked like when he got in there and he started seeing all that God had done for him? Woo! And he looked back to where he used to be bound. And now he's in a place he's never been before. And he begins to leap. And he begins to worship. And he begins to put some depth to his life. Then he begins to praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I never had a reason to praise Him before. I used to be on my bed. I used to be broke down. I used to have no position. I used to have no purpose. There I was sitting at my gate. I had a place at the house of God, but I served no purpose. But all of a sudden, when Jesus stepped on the scene, He changed everything. Now I'm in the presence of God Almighty. Somebody who can look back on your life and say, I'm glad I'm not on that bar stool. I'm glad I'm not a drunk anymore. I'm glad I'm in the presence of God. Somebody owes God a praise. God's done anything for you to restore something the devil took from you. God's done something for you that when the law said you never could, God said in Himself He never will, but in me He can't miss. Somebody ought to praise God about that. Watch this. I'm done. Here's His purpose. The Bible said that all those people saw Him walking what He's never been able to do before. Praising God what He's never had a reason to do before. In the temple where He's never been before. They all came in greatly wondering what had happened to Him. If you keep reading, 5,000 people get saved. Not because of Peter and John. Those Pharisees said, what are we going to do with these two preacher boys? Persecute them, beat them. But as for this man who is healed, the Bible says we can't say nothing. What are they going to do with you when you once was blind, but now you see? What are they going to do with you when you used to run around with that wrong crowd? And now you're hanging out at church. We don't know much about that preacher up there. But there's something about that man. I know what he used to be. They all came in greatly wondering at that which had happened unto him. See, it is my responsibility to lead other people into the presence of God. How many people are we leading to Jesus? If we could ever get a touch from Him that's so supernatural, other people recognize it. You don't talk like you used to. You don't act like you used to. They'll call you crazy, but it's all right. I'd rather be crazy for Jesus than crazy for the Atlanta Falcons. Let me put it this way. I'm a fan of His. And if they can scream and holler down at that football field, and their team, they know their team losing next week. Mine don't ever lose. How many people
Oh, well, that's the purpose of God. God can take you from serving no purpose. See, He's got to take your problem, though. We got to stop looking at our problems like they're problems and looking at the potential that they may be a platform for God to use His power. And when they see God touch your problem and put a purpose in you, other people will want the God that you serve. Young people, when you go back to school different than everybody else. Laugh at me all you want to, but you should have been there this summer when we was at the Red Field and we watched God do what nobody else could do. That's what we need in our young people. Stand with me to your feet. I'm done. Lord Jesus, thank You for where we were. If I wasn't where I was, I don't know if I would have ever needed You like I did in that place. Thank You for where I was. God, thank You for where I am. Because I see where I am, how far You've brought me from where I was. And thank You, Lord, for where I'm going. Because there's more to this. I got to keep walking. There's more to this. I've got to keep leaping. There's more to this. I'm going to keep praising God. Lord, let other people see You in my life. Take what's broken in me, mend it by Your power, and in those weak places that You have made strong, I'll use them to glorify You. If it's in my feet, I'll use it to glorify You. If it's in my hands, I'll use it to glorify You. If it's in my mouth, I'll use it to glorify You. God, I'll just go ahead and tell You like this, take it all. It's all Yours. I'm fully surrendered to You. Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'm turning it over to the preacher. But with your heads bowed, eyes closed, real quickly. Tonight,